the Fade 5 Podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Waste your bet at Jack Wagons. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good son of Andrew Lundy. It is indeed another edition of the Fade 5 Podcast. It's all the East, all the time. We're going to be breaking out our favorite plays in that region in the NCAA tournament here momentarily. But let's first of all, with tickets in hand, go big or go home and honk, honk, hop aboard the plus bus. These are our favorite wagers, plus 100 odds or greater, that we're checking out. And of course, we got to align it because that's what we're doing in all these regional breakdowns this year's NCAA tournament with our pick to take the East. Lundy, I'll let you go first. Who do you like?
You tell you what, I don't actually like the betting options for this particular region. And the reason why is because I think it's UConn's to be able to take. I really do. I think UConn right now is the best team in this. You know, if you're looking at your printout, right, if you printed out your bracket on the left-hand side, I believe UConn is absolutely the best team. So you're taking into account the East. You're taking into account the West. We're talking about UNC. We're talking about Arizona. We're talking about BYU. All of those different teams that are sitting there on that left-hand side of the bracket. But if you asked me to make a pick that was eligible for the plus bus, I'm going to ride the Iowa State wave and the defense that the Cyclones are playing right now. I just believe that what this team is doing is pretty spectacular, frankly. They're playing really, really good basketball, and I think they know how to slow teams down. So if there was somebody that could come along and just frustrate the hell out of UConn, I could see it being Iowa State. And so the fact that over at BetMGM, I can snag that at plus 425, it's plus 400, for example, at DK, slightly lower. If I were going to pick somebody that wasn't named UConn, this is who I would pick to come out of the East and be able to do the upset. So, like I said, just defensively, what I'm seeing out of this team being coming out of the Big 12 and coming out of that absolutely insane conference this year with Houston being up at the top, could they give UConn a pain in the ass and give them a run for their money? I think they could.
Oh, of course. Where am I going to set my cash? Yeah, baby. Plus 700. That's great value. Look, you can even admit that's great value, right?
Yes, I can admit that getting it 7-1 is great value. Look, in the first episode that we did, and if you're just tuning in, remember, we're doing four episodes for you here at the beginning of the week. We're going region by region. In the first episode, I told you that, look, I thought UNC at plus 300 is a hell of a value, man. I just think that's crazy that it's 3-1. I expected them to be down towards the 150, 175 range. And so the fact that I'm getting it basically double what I would have picked or what I would have expected, I will absolutely do, despite the fact that you believe that's a very open region. 7-1 for your Illini, it's a little tempting.
It's very tempting. I might have to drive to Indiana to place this wager, to be honest with you, because it's too good to be true. I mean, Illinois has the goods, at least on the offensive side. We're going to get to defense here in a second, to represent the Final Four in Glendale. They're a team that's playing at like an astronomical top three level nationally and adjust offensive efficiency over the last 30 days. They're shooting up 55.3% inside the arc, 37.2% outside of it over that stretch. Now, defensively, that's the issue. They've given up way too many near proximity shots. Three-point land, they haven't really gotten out and stretched along there. They're giving up 40.6% over that 30-day stretch in that category. That's unacceptable, inexcusable, and needs to be rectified. But a team that's long, disruptive, athletic, gets a lot of second-chance opportunities. Nearly 37% of the possessions, as a matter of fact, they get an offensive rebound. It's just that defense. And, you know, it can't be flaccid. It's got to be rigid D, especially along the perimeter where they're number 344 in three-point percentage defense over the last month. But Illinois, man, I'm telling you, they got a shot here. It was an enormously tough draw. UConn does not have an easy road. How are you the number one overall seed and you get Iowa State and Illinois as the 2-3s? Oh, and Auburn at number four makes zero sense. This is a murderer's row region. Whoever comes out of it, I think, can win the whole shebang, Lundy. I really, truly believe that. All right, with those bets on the board, let's get after it with another edition of the Fade Five.
Number five.
All right, Numero Cinco here on the countdown. Let's talk about those fighting Bruce Pearls. And I'm going to go with the Auburn Tigers. I'm going to lay the chalk against the future Czech riders of the world as the graduate soon of Yale. That 12.5 line, I think, is too low, minus 110 juice available there at DraftKings. I've been critical of Auburn, admittedly, for much of the season because the resume was kind of hollow. They only had three quarter one victories over the entirety of the season. They just picked up two in the SEC tournament, but still a team that is high-flying. They really get up and down. They defend you until the cows come home, and they've been a top 15 nationally effective field goal percentage offense over the last 30 days, where they're also top 10 nationally in effective field goal percentage defense during that span, giving up 43% inside the arc, 29.7% outside of it. They love to play at an up-tempo and fast pace, the antithesis of what Yale likes to do, more of a grinded out, half-court-oriented style at number 322 in adjusted tempo. And yes, I know Yale's got the seven-footer there, Matt Wolf, who can beat you inside. It can knock down some triples as well, but they don't get to the line very often. They're a very good interior team, but they haven't faced dudes like Auburn has. They got athletes that fly up and down the floor all over the place. I think the Tigers roll. I'm going to lay the 12.5 in that opening round matchup against the Bulldogs. Minus 110 juice at DraftKings. Lundy, better follow.
I like this a lot, and you already unloaded on in terms of how the committee screwed this one up. And folks, yeah, by the way, you can listen to all four episodes this week, and you're going to hear that as a constant theme. Son of a bitch, the committee screwed up. They screwed up badly. But this is going to be a murderer's row, the least of which is Auburn. I think Auburn's going to kill them. I don't have a whole lot of outside other than a TYG. Trust your gut. I think Auburn wins this and wins this going away.
Yeah, Brown almost bounced Yale. It took a last-second miracle for the Bulldogs to even get in the tournament, and that was a sub-500 Brown team. You think Auburn's going to do some damage? Hell yes, they are!
Number four.
I do more quarter of the Fade at five countdown, all beast region all the time. We're talking Northwestern versus Florida Atlantic. And give me the Wildcats, +2.5. I know they have some injury issues, but they still have a guy named Bowie. You want to talk about a team that got overseeded? Look at FAU. I didn't project it as a first four participant in Dayton. That would have been a number 11 seed. What did the committee do? Oh, you lost to two quadrant fours? Oh, you also lost to a quadrant three? Oh, you played a subpar strength of schedule because you played a woeful conference? Oh, here you go, buddy. We're going to give you a number 8 seed. Enjoy. You deserve it. Get the hell out of here with that nonsense. Anyway, I digress. I like Northwestern, again, because of Bowie and the three-point shooting ability. They are netting over 40% from way downtown over the last 30 days. And here's the thing I've noticed about FAU. I've been betting against them consistently the last couple of months. It doesn't matter who they play. They get down in games. Even meet competition, they're struggling against. I know I'm sung the praises of Vladislav Golden, and that backcourt is dynamic. They have experience. They're a Final Four team that returned all their guys from last year. But you look at the particulars, number 65 in AFG offense. Okay, decent the last 30 days. But number 76 overall in Bartorvik. Why? Because their defense stinks. 171 in EFGD. They're giving up 35.4% specifically from the perimeter. And again, that's the strength of Northwestern. Number 30 in Bartorvik. They slow you down. That's going to frustrate Fuller Atlantic. Northwestern, number 349 at adjusted tempo. Defensively, they have their own issues at number 213 in EFGD in that category. But again, the great equalizer. I don't care if they're going to be missing a couple of key bodies. It's just boo-booey. I'm sick of that guy. Graduate already. He is a joy to watch if you're a Northwestern fan. He's going to put on a show in this game. And I think Florida Atlantic, who's going to be a trendy pick because of last season, don't buy into the recency bias. I believe they get ousted by Chris Collins' Wildcats. I'll take him +2.5, -110 juice at BetMGM. Lundy, better follow.
So this is one of the games that I don't really like picking. I got to be honest with you. This is one that I don't feel
flip
very good.
Flip a coin.
With. Just no,
flip
it. No, I do kind of believe that it could come down to that. I will tell you this. I don't know why. Another TYG maybe. The bet I would rather make on this game is to play the over. I actually,
what's the total at? It's got to be at like 130, right?
No, it's at 142.5, and I still like the over. I still like the over, my man. I do. I think that 3-point shot's going to be the great equalizer in this one. I will play the over. So I don't know. You want to middle it? You could decide to SGP this bad boy if you're kind of like I am. You could say, all right, let me jack it up and then take the under, right? So let me pump that thing up to call it 149.5. Let me throw another 7 points in there and then play the under and then maybe take Northwestern plus, what, 6.5?
Yeah, smart move.
Something in that range might still keep us close to even money. So that's probably what I will do prior to this game is I'll sit back and I'll figure out a way to SGP it and kind of middle the whole thing. Because I do think it's going to wind up being close. It's part of the reason why I'm not really a big fan of the spread in this one, because I do think it'll be a close game. I think for everything that you're talking about with Northwestern and what they can do, I just think this is an FAU team that can keep things close. Northwestern has dealt with a ton of injuries, as you know, following them in the Big Ten. I just think this is one of those that I would, in general, I would likely stay away. If I'm going to play it, I probably would SGP it.
Oh, Northwestern, please leave me in the black. It's all about you, Mr. Boo. Booey.
Number three.
All right, number three here on the Fade Five. Yeah, he's still there. He hasn't quite gotten his degree yet. And I can't wait to see it happen. I'm going to take the over, UConn Stetson. That number is sitting at 143.5, and I think it's going to hit with relative ease at a minus 110 juice here at BetMGM. And here's the reason why. Yes, I know UConn is number 301 at just a tempo over the last 30 days, but how is Stetson going to stop these dudes? I just, you know, it could be like 85, 90 points they're going to put on the board. Tristan Newton, one of the best point guards in the country, is a triple-double threat every time it takes the court. You got Dominic Klingon, the 7'2 behemoth in the post. Stetson won't have the size of match. I mean, you just have score after score. Cam Spencer, Alex Caravan, Castle's a guy that gets buckets. I mean, UConn just brings guys. You know, they're not particularly deep, but they're the runaway favorite for a reason. Number 32 EFG offense over the last 30 days. And you look at Stetson, a good offensive team in their own right. They're number 23 in the nation in effective field goal percentage offense over that 30-day stretch. And here is the key stat, 40.4% from distance. They're going to have to jack a ton of threes. They may take like 35 threes, and that's not an exaggeration. That's outlandish to think in this game, because they're not going to dare try to go in when Klingon is on the court and go against Kling Kong and think that a fruitful outcome is going to occur. They're going to have to step out. If they're getting even an inch of space, just let it fly from way downtown. And hopefully they'll make, you know, 10 or so threes. If they do that, get to maybe 65, 70 points in this thing, your boy's cashing the over. So over Huskies and the Mad Hatters, 143.5, minus 110 at BetMGM. Lundy, fair to follow.
Like this one, most definitely. I will jump with you on this one. I'll play the over. By the way, UConn's team total, over under 85.5. I would play the over on that as well.
I
think they're going to hit upper 80s, maybe 90. I don't think they hit the century mark. I don't think they get to that point like we were talking about on the previous episode with Bama. But I do believe that you're going to see a lot of scoring in this one. Stetson's, by the way, is at 58.5. That's their total, is 58.5. If they're hitting threes... If they're hitting threes, they'll get to 60. They'll at least get 60. So there's a couple of, you know, kind of deeper dive type of plays that you could make in this game if you wanted to. But in total, I like the total. See what I did there? See?
Very smart. Hey, guys, just do this. Just pile up the points so Nate and I can cash.
Number two.
Numero dos here with the Fade Five countdown. Staying in the East region. Love the Drake. Hate the Drake. Love the Drake. Hate the Drake. No, I love the Drake. Give me the Fighting Bulldogs from Missouri Valley plus 1.5. Taking on the Pac-12 and Washington State. As Lundy said in a prior episode, always fade the Pac-12 in the NCAA tournament. And he ain't wrong in this instance because Drake is the better team. Number 40 in Bar Torvik over the last 30 days. You look at Washington State in that category, just number 64. And, you know, look, Kyle Smith has done a bang up job in Pullman. Nobody expected Washington State to even be anywhere remotely close to the dance, let alone drawing a single digit seed, but they got there. But you look at the advanced analytics again the last month, number 246 EFG offense is Wazoo, and number 225 in EFG defense. Turnovers are a problem. That 2-point percentage defense is a problem. 3-point percentage offense is a problem. They're only netting 29.3% from way downtown over that month. Good rebounding team, but Drake has got some size there in the middle with Brody, who's like 6'10", and he might be three bills. He's a really massive human being, a lane clogger for the Bulldogs. The number 49, because Tucker DeVries, the coach's son, is a marksman in EFG offense. They're netting 50.7% inside the arc and 41.1% outside of it. Decent defensive team, plus rebounding because they're big boy there in the middle. And they're a team that will try to speed things up from Wazoo because Wazoo likes to be more in a half court, number 301, and adjust the tempo last 30 days. Drake at number 128. Bulldogs are very rested. They're going to be quite prepared. They're well coached. They got better players on the floor, and they have suitable size for a mid-major. So pull it all together. Love the Drake, Elaine Menace at plus 1.5 against Wazoo, minus 110 at BetMGM. Lundy, fair to follow.
I've been trying to find a way to back a Pac-12 team. I've been trying really hard. I really have.
I don't think there's a single one on my bracket.
I don't know that there's one that I just feel confident enough about, right?
Oh, I got Arizona beating Long Beach. That's it.
Yeah. You got Arizona coming out of the first round. I mean, I know we're sitting on that, but it's like I want really badly to find a way for Washington State to be able to make this interesting, but I can't. And let me give you a little tidbit here as we talk about this particular game. As of right now at DraftKings, it's Drake minus 2. It's flipped.
Oh, it flipped?
It is flipped to the point where it's Drake minus 2 at DraftKings as of tape time.
This, I would still play it.
This line is moving, and I think it's a matchup thing. The only way that Wazoo can be able to hold on to this and somehow bring some semblance of, you know, positive thinking towards the demise of the Pac-12 basketball season is if Wazoo can get offensive rebounds. Washington State has to get second chance points. The problem is, as Brad already pointed out to you, Drake's got size to keep them from being able to do that. It's a bad matchup for Washington State. And I think Drake takes care of business. And like I said, the script's already flipped. They're now the favorites.
Oh, you hear that? Chugga, 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 chugga. Choo, choo. Follow the steam, baby. Bet on Drake.
Number one.
Oh, numero uno here on the Fade Fund. I-L-L. I'm not laying any action on the line. I kind of like the total over in the high 140s, but I think, honestly, the best bet on the Illinois Fighting Illini matchup against Morehead State, the Manimal U back in the tournament. I like the over in Illinois team total points. I grab it at 79.5 minus 112 juice, so buyable juice there at FanDuel. This honestly should be about 5 points higher, like 84.5, because all Illinois does right now extraordinarily well, as I outlined, is scoring points. Terrence Shannon dropped 40 against Nebraska in the Big Ten tournament. That set a tournament record. He turned around, had a 30-point effort in the title game against Wisconsin. He is Carmelo Anthony-like. He can maybe carry my Illini to the promised land of this year's NCAA tournament, and they're going to just, you know, keep the foot on the gas this entire game because that's what Illinois does. They love to play at a brisk pace. I know that Morehead State has been a quality defensive team in the OVC, but you know, look at the level of competition. Over the last 30 days, yeah, they're top 20 in EFG defense, and they do have some pretty good rebounders. But with Coleman Hawkins, with Damask, with Shannon, that size, Ty Rogers, an X factor as well in this game, Dane Danger coming off the bench, Illinois's got to get buckets. They're going to be drenched. They're going to be sopping wet. Give me the over. 79.5 total points in that opening round matchup against Morehead State. My top play of this region. Minus 112 juice at FanDuel. Lunny, don't you dare fade me.
No, because I agree with you that it's off. I don't know that it's 5 points off, but I definitely think that it should be up in the 80s. It should at least be at 81.5, 82.5. Yeah. Like I said, I'm not sure that it should be as high as you're thinking that it should be, but would I be surprised? No, I wouldn't be. So the idea that I just need Illinois to score 80 points with that offense and with the vibe that Shannon is on right now over the course of the last couple of games, yes, I think this is an easy play to be able to take advantage of. So rock and roll with this one. I can understand exactly why it is your top play in the East region.
All right, let's make some more moolah. It's bonus time, Lundy, here on the podcast. We got a couple of games that we left on the cutting room floor. So let me go ahead and throw them out to you. We have BYU and Duquesne, Iowa State and South Dakota State, the Fighting Jackrabbits, and we have San Diego State, the other SDSU, and UAB. Side total money line out of those three games, what tickles your fancy most?
I think the one that I will look at is, I told you how much I like, if I were going to pick a plus odds to be able to go with Iowa State. That said, I think the Jackrabbits can keep it close. I think 17 points is too much. I for whatever reason, I believe that 17 is a lot. I think this actually opened at 15, if I'm not mistaken, and has already been steamed up a couple of points. So this is one where, you know, I probably wouldn't have done it right when it opened, but now that I see it getting up to 17, and by the way, it moved a half a point from this morning. Like it's moved in the last 90 minutes because it was at 16.5. That's what I have written down in my notes. And I just went and looked, and DK's already got it up to 17 now. I mean, Iowa State can win this and win this easily, but do I think that South Dakota State could keep it close? Yes, actually I do. And so 17 to me is too much. On the flip side, this is one where I don't know enough about Duquesne to be able to make an educated choice yet. I can tell you my gut is for BYU to cover and BYU to win it by double figures. But I don't know a lot about Duquesne, but I do know that BYU looked good. I do know that BYU went into Fog Allen and beat the Jayhawks on the road, and it wasn't pretty. And I know that this is not quite a confident Jayhawks team. We've talked about that. We'll get to it when we get to
they're not healthy.
No, exactly. But they were healthy, and BYU spanked them like an out of control 2-year-old. Okay. I mean, it was bad. Okay. It just was. And so I think BYU, like I said, I don't know a lot about Duquesne. Brad, you may need to be able to jump in on this one for me, but I will tell you that my gut says BYU wins that by double figures. And so I will lay the chalk, which is right now at DraftKings at a -9.
Yeah, and it's climbed. It opened at -7.5 last night.
Wow.
You look at Duquesne, the first tournament appearance since 1977. They like to slow you down, which BYU is like, get the hell out of here with that nonsense. We're not going to, you know, play at your pace. We're going to try to speed things up. But Duquesne, number 161 at EFG offense. Pretty good defensive team. That's their calling card. Number 82 EFG D. They're coming out 50% inside the arc and 30% outside of it over the last 30 days. Turnovers, though, are a problem. I watched them against VCU, and VCU, you know, really applies all kinds of on-ball pressure, but you know Duquesne really like crumbled because they kept coming off the rock. The reason why VCU didn't win that game is because they can't really shoot. They're so three dependent, and those were not falling. So you know the Dukes got in; they're going to get humbled. I think BYU's got too many weapons. They've been in advanced numbers, darling, all season long. I'm with you. I'll lay the and whether you can find anywhere at like 8, 8.5, or 9. I think it's 10 or more for them. I also like the over at Iowa State and South Dakota State. I know that Iowa State is a fantastic defensive team. Number 16 EFGD over the last 30 days and number 231 adjusted tempo. South Dakota State, a team that's in the 200s as well in adjusted tempo. But South Dakota State can freaking score, man. They got a guard in Zeke Mayo. Open up that jar. Grab a butter knife and spread on the sandwich. He's tasty, man. He's a really good player. And he's a guy, too, that the supreme reason why they're number 2 in EFG offense over the last 30 days. So this kind of leans into your view that the Fighting Jackrabbits are not going to go down without that fight. And, you know, I think they're going to cover, but I like the over even more. In the low 130s, it'll be tight because Iowa State's going to try to slow the game down, but South Dakota State can pile up some points. And we know that Iowa State in the Houston game can also score in bunches as well.
And I know that this is really minor, but I brought it up when we were talking about the West region with the idea of Mississippi State playing in Charlotte. I think that game is going to be fascinating because you've got Iowa State playing South Dakota State in Omaha. So you're talking about fans that can drive, right? Yeah. You're not asking them to hop on a plane to be able to go support their team. All you got to do is, you know, pile your buddies into that beat up RV and, you know, go park it outside the arena there, hang out with Warren Buffett a little bit and watch some hoops. So I also think that game, it could be very interesting because I think both teams are going to have a fan base there to support them. It's not going to be one of those random things where the only people in the crowd are like corporate sponsors and bullshit like that in Eastern Nebraska. I think you're actually going to have some fans there making noise. And I think that as much as it can benefit Iowa State, I also think it gives a little bit of energy to South Dakota State. And we talked about them when we talk about the Summit League because of the fact that the Summit League tournament is played in Sioux Falls. So they're able to take advantage of the home court there. I think they get a little bit of it here. Again, I think Iowa State wins, but I go back to what I said. 17 feels like too much just because I think South Dakota State can hang with them.
Yeah, totally agree. And hey, Warren Buffett, can I get a loan, bro? Really? Maybe a couple of shares of Berkshire Hathaway?
I don't want a loan. I just want him to look at us and go, you know, I like you kids. Here's
my wallet.
Here's some loose change that I found between the couch cushions because his definition of loose change is probably seven figures.
I looked it up this morning when I was doing an article for thegamingjuice.com. His net worth right now is just $35 billion. That's it. $35 billion.
I'm telling you, he can sneeze and like a few $100 bills are going to come shooting out of his wallet just from over.
Well, I thought it was shooting out of his ass, and that probably is the case as well. He's just full of money. That Warren Buffett is.
He probably is. He probably is. It probably comes out his nostrils when he does sneeze. So, all right. Remember, Brad's going to give you all the lowdown, but I like to remind everybody, 4 episodes for you.
Yes.
2 of them dropping here on Monday. 2 of them will drop on Tuesday, and everything is being arranged by region in terms of these episodes. So just in terms of a programming note, that is why you're getting a double dose today. You're going to get a double dose on Tuesday. Just get a chance to consume it and make sure that you're following and you're checking the spreadsheets and all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, we're not going to have a show on Friday either because I'm going to be in the lab watching all the various games. I'm up to my eyeballs and assignments for stadium sports, thegamingjuice.com, and various other media appearances. So we're giving you the tools that you need for all your gambling services to scratch every single itch in that department. And go to thegamingjuice.com right now. Sign up for a free account. You can check out all my college basketball content there. Lundy's NHL picks. He's cranking out every single day as well. We have other writers contributing. We're a growing site. We're trying to build a community. Please come play and, you know, sign up with us because we're going to give you some fun advice. Always fade or follow. That is up to you indeed. So just go to thegamingjuice.com for that free account today. Also drop us a rating and a review. You can follow us on the X or the Twitter, Lundy at Nate Lundy and myself at Noisy Huevos. For the outstanding and lovely Nathaniel Lundy, I'm Brad Evans. Indeed, as always, fade or follow. That is up to you. ILL!